Do you all ever get excited about that kind of stuff and stand to your feet and give people praise? Why don't we stand up and give them praise? Come on, get to your feet and thank them. All right, amen. Good job. Wow. That's good. It's good to stand up too, isn't it? Christmas is about joy, isn't it? It's about peace. It's also about a child. You ever thought about why Jesus came as a child? You ever given any thought to that? He didn't have to. We're told in Genesis that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He started bringing about creation, and then one day He created man. We're told that He took dust from the ground and fashioned it in the form of a man, and He breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living being. You see, we didn't evolve from a lower species. I've met some people that I thought that was true, haven't you? I got some cousins I think came from a different line, but we won't get into that. We didn't crawl up out of the sea, and we in a single act of creation, God created humanity, full grown. Adam and Eve weren't babies, and grew into adulthood. They were created as adults. They had children that just the normal way that you have children through the human process, but they were created independently by a holy God. God could have done that with Jesus. He could have just showed up one day. But God chose to bring about His Son through human instruments because He wanted us to know that He's both God and man. The writer of Hebrews says that Jesus was tempted in all ways like us, and yet without sin. He was the God-man. God wants us to know that He identifies with us by coming as a child. He also wants us to know that He loves children. Thank you for loving children. Thank you for supporting the Affordable Christmas. Thank you for the children's ministries that you've had. I was talking to Megan earlier about before COVID, about how many children, upwards of 120, 130 kids you minister to on a regular basis. Part of what I grieve over as being a pastor and being a preacher is not having very many kids. There are some children here today, and thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing your kids. But children, really, church is for kids. It's not only for children, but it's the child in us. That's what Christmas is about. Jesus came as a child because in order to come to Jesus, you and I must come as a child. It's the child in us. Shirley and I have two grandchildren. We have Emery, who is 5, and Sydney, who is 7. They'll both be 6 and 8 here shortly. We spent some time with them this week. And one of the things that struck me with spending time with these little girls is how excited they are about wonder. How excited they are about things that you and I just take this, it's nothing to us. Yesterday, the youngest one got in a whirlpool. She'd never been in a whirlpool. And one of the things she did, she pushed the button before the water got totally over the jets, and it sprayed the whole deal. And she just thought that was the coolest thing. She, and she loved the water spraying on her, and I wish I could have captured the expression on her face of that wonder of a whirlpool. And I stood there for a minute, and I just reminded myself, it's been a long time since I've had a sense of wonder, a long time. I was thinking back about when it was, I was in Africa last year, actually on a hunting trip, but I was in South Africa, and I walked out at night, and I've never, ever seen as many stars because there's no pollution. It was unbelievable. It was just absolutely, I was in awe of God's creation. But I want to tell you, I've lost most of that, as have you. And Christmas is a time to get in touch again with the wonder of God coming to earth as a child. To get in touch with joy. To get in touch with rejoicing. And boy, that music set us up to do it perfectly. God loves children. And He loves churches that love kids. He loves people that love kids. And Christmas is a time for the child in us to be rediscovered and for us to rejoice in the wonder that God stepped out of eternity into time and has recorded it for us in the New Testament. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read the Christmas story. If you've never read it to your family, I'd encourage you to do it maybe today or maybe this week. In Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her first son, and she wrapped him in snuggling cloth and laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them at the inn. In the same regions, shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior, who is the Messiah of the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people He favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. These shepherds were filled with wonder. Some commentators believe that these shepherds were watchers over the flock in Bethlehem of the sacrificial lambs that would be offered in the temple in Jerusalem. We don't know that for sure, but certainly they were special shepherds. Why the shepherds? Because they were listening. They were people that were outside of the city. They were out over on the fields watching over their flock. And all of a sudden, an angel came to them and said, "I've got great news for you. The Savior's been born in the city of David. Go and see. And then go and tell." Invites them to come on a journey, to come and see Jesus. And I want to tell you, this same Christmas, this same angel, the same messenger of God is inviting you to come and see Jesus afresh and to get in touch with wonder. How long has it been since you had wonder about anything? That you were excited about something new and fresh? For most of us, it's been a long time. I was reminded this week when my granddaughter had such wonder over a whirlpool. But it wasn't just that. They're so inquisitive, and they're so fresh, and they're so pliable, and they're so excited about simple things. I want that again. I don't want to just trudge through life. I just don't want to live day by day marking time off a calendar. I want to live with a sense of wonder that the angels brought to the shepherds, and the shepherds came and saw, and then they went and told. And Christmas is the time for us to get in touch with this wonder once again. What is the wonder? The wonder of Christmas is that God became a human. The angel told Joseph this way, his name will be Emmanuel. It means God with us. He's not only with us, he's for us. And not only is he for us, he wants to live his life in us. Can you imagine that the Holy God, Ed talked about the Bethlehem star, that God that put all the stars in their place, that God, the God that keeps the world spinning at the right speed, at the right distance from the sun, at the right angle, and all that kind of, that same God wants to live his life in you. That's something to be excited about. Some of you go to ball games and act like idiots. If you're Kentucky, you mourn over it. If you're Western, you're celebrating. But you go and you get excited about stuff and all, and you come to church and it's like, oh, well, it's the same old, same old, same old. Christmas is a time to get in touch with the wonder, with the joy. I'm going to Tallahassee in a few weeks, so be doing some consulting with the church, and I was called Hertz to make a reservation for a car to pick up at the airport, and Alice answered. Alice is the artificial linguistic computer entity. I was talking to a computer. How may I help you? I started trying to have a conversation until I realized she sounded really like a person, but it was a computer. And finally, I pushed zero and got to talk to Sylvia, a real person. Aren't you glad that God didn't send a computer? Aren't you glad that God didn't do it through electrodes and whatever happens inside of a computer? God came as a person to tell us that he loves us, to tell us that he's for us. The angel told Joseph that you'll call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. God is with us. God's still in charge. Aren't you glad? I mean, aren't you glad that Congress has nothing to do with the world? I mean, really. I mean, hello, they can't even decide on a stimulus package. I mean, it's like, come on. What did we send you all up there to do? Come on. You know, the deal about Christmas is reminding us that there's a big world. There's a universe that God is controlling, and he's still in charge. My encouragement to you as a church is just take a deep breath. Relax. This is his church. I was in your family meeting the other night, sat up on the balcony and just listened. And it was done well. I've been in some really, really bad meetings like that where there were lots of anger. It was done well. I commend the leadership committee for how it was done and all the questions that were asked. But here's the deal. This is not your church. It's his. You didn't die for this church. You didn't found this church. Jesus said, upon this rock, and he is the rock, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not come against it. The rock is Jesus. It's not just the confession of Jesus that he's the Christ. It is Jesus himself. So this Christmas, just take a deep breath and enjoy the journey. You see, he invites us on a journey. He invited Joseph and Mary on a journey of faith, and even Caesar Augustus, this Roman pagan that had no idea that he was part of the plan of God, gave a decree that everybody had to go back to their town of lineage to be taxed. It was about money. He had no idea that he was forcing Joseph and Mary, who lived in this little backwater town of Nazareth, to travel 70 miles down the Jordan Valley, down to Bethlehem. He invited them on a journey, and you can almost see them on this journey. He invited the shepherds to come and leave their flock and to come and see the Christ child that was born in that stable. And he invites you to come on a journey. And he wants you and me, and I'm talking as much to myself as I am anybody, he wants us to enjoy the journey. I've been in a hurry all my life. I was breech, and so I caused my mother pain right off. I've been a pain in her side ever since. And I've always been in a hurry. I don't like waiting at red lights. I don't like waiting in a restaurant very long. Anybody here? I mean, hello. We got some type A's that just, you know. So I'm talking a lot to myself because here's the deal. I've been in a hurry, and I got to be this age in a hurry. You know, I don't know. I'm 69. I just thought that was ancient, fall off the cliff, dead, irrelevant. Hello, right? And some of you would say that you are. I say, well, that's all right. But here, I retired from Lifeway a year ago, partly to slow down, to spend more time with my grandkids, to spend more time with my wife, to spend more time serving the church. This Christmas season, my prayer for you is you just take a deep breath. Slow down a little bit. Life's coming at you fast anyway. You see, he invites us on a journey. And on that journey, he wants us to have joy. What Christmas does brings us a lot of stress. Some of you have been mad this Christmas, haven't you? Screamed at your wife or your kids or somebody at the restaurant or at the store or whatever. 6-year-old and her parents had been out shopping for Christmas, and they came home, were sitting around the table. Mom and Dad were mad. They were arguing with each other. And the little 6-year-old said, well, can I pray? And they said, yeah, you can pray. And she said, God, Mom and Dad are mad. And if you don't change their hearts, it's only going to be me and you this Christmas. You see, some of us, we need to take a step back at this Christmas and find joy. Slow down. Enjoy our family. Your kids are going to be gone. Your grandkids are going to grow up. Before you know it, you're going to be dead. Tom, aren't you glad you came today? My friend Tom Westbrook and his wife from Bethany. Y'all be nice to them, even though nobody usually is. I mean, I pick on Tom a lot, but I mean, it's like, really? How did we get this far, this fast? Can I hit the pause button? Christmas is the time to hit the pause button. Slow down. Enjoy the journey. You can almost imagine the journey of Joseph and Mary. They get this decree. Where'd this come from? Mary's full-term pregnant. Here they take a journey 70 miles. It probably took them a week or longer to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Her on the back of a donkey, more than likely, we assume that. Probably not walking, but here they come to Bethlehem, this bustling city, and they had no idea where they were going to stay or what was going to happen. They go to a place where they thought maybe there'd be room, an inn, and they get there, and you can see the innkeeper saying, no, we're full, I'm sorry. And he looks at his wife. Joseph looks at his wife and says, what am I going to do with her? She's pregnant. And he goes, well, the only place I've got is I got room in my stable out back. And Joseph said, that'll be okay. You can almost see Joseph and Mary quickly hurrying to the stable. And the innkeeper is preparing a place to make it as nice as he could. And all of a sudden, not long after they get settled into this hole in this cave in the side of the hill, there's a cry, the first cry, and the Son of God takes his first human breath. And not long after this miracle happens, some weird people, some shepherds show up, and tell them that an angel has told them that there's a child to be born, the Son of God. And they fall down and worship the Son of God. And then the Bible says that they leave and they go tell everybody else that a child has been born. It's the story of Christmas. Come and see Jesus. And then go and tell. We're to tell the good news. And what is the good news? The good news is that we are not alone. We're not alone in our journey. Some of you feel lonely. Charlene and I have a friend in Henderson who's all her family is ill with COVID. And she's got a brother that's got it. She's got a son-in-law that's got it. She's going to be totally alone at Christmas. Some of you, there's people in this church, there's certainly people in this community that feel alone. Some of you got people all around you and you still feel alone. You feel like no one understands you. You feel like you're having to make decisions on your own. You feel like that you're overwhelmed with the burdens of life. Well, I want you to know that Christmas is, the good news is that you are not alone. God is with you. He's with you through the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's with you through His comforting word. He's with you through worship like we had this morning. He's with you through others and brothers and sisters that can lift us up. God is with us. And He wants us to know that on this journey, He has joined us. And He wants to walk alongside of us. And He wants to speak to us. Has an angel ever spoken to you? That you listened. I committed to ministry on Easter Sunday, 1976. And trying to decide where to go to seminary and figured out I was going to go to Southern in Louisville. And then I hadn't been in church very long. I got back in church in February of that year. And in April, I responded to a call to ministry, which is very unusual. And when I got ready to leave Beacon Hill Baptist Church in Somerset, Kentucky, I didn't know where I was going to go to church in Louisville. There's a lot of churches. I'd gotten letters from Walnut Street and Ninth and O and some other big churches in Louisville, but I had no idea where I was going to go. And this lady, they were having a little reception or whatever, a sending-off party for me at Beacon Hill. And this lady that I didn't know, really, I'd seen her, but I had no idea who she was. She walked up to me and she said, "Where are you going to go to church in Louisville?" I said, "I have no idea." She said, "Well, my cousin, who lives in London, her husband, who's from Corbin." Now, you have to understand where I come from. That's a big deal. "Where are you from? Hello. Is that true here?" I mean, I'm a Kentuckian. In Kentucky, you're from the county, right? I'm from Warren County. You know, or I'm from Pulaski County. So she said, "They speak the language." People in Louisville, they were city people. I didn't know anybody there much. And so she said, her husband, Ralph Hodge, is a pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Louisville. Here's his number. And when you get to town, if you'll call him, they'll at least feed you a meal. So I got to Louisville, and I called them. And they said, "Well, we've been expecting your call. Come on over." And sure enough, they fed me a meal. And I started attending Bethlehem Baptist Church. And guess what? It was there that I met my wife. And January the 8th, we'll be married 44 years. She was an angel. That's right. Yeah. And for her, she's been happy 42 of those. So, thereabouts. It was an angel of God that spoke to me and changed my life. Led me to my wife. God wants to speak words to you through His messengers. Sometimes we entertain angels unaware. People come to us and speak truth to us, and we're so busy, or we're so preoccupied, or we're so hard-headed, or we're so self-centered, we just don't have time to listen. He spoke to the shepherds. Why not rabbis? Why not priests? Why not Levites? Why not scribes? Why not kings? They were all too busy. Shepherds had time. They would listen. And when they listened, they came and they saw change their life. Why Joseph and Mary? Because they were willing and open and obedient to the Lord. this Christmas season, my prayer for you is that you will rediscover the wonder of the birth of the Son of God becoming a human being. God is with us, and He wants you to know that He's in charge. He is. A book I'd commend to you, it's a short book, it's a children's book by Madeline Engel. It's called The Summer of the Great-Grandmother. She tells a story about her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and one evening she was reading them a bedtime story, and one of her great-grandchildren, Lena, asked her, "Grandma, is everything all right?" And she said, "Well, of course, honey, everything's all right." And little Lena asked again, "I mean, is everything all right, really?" And the grandmother said, "I looked in that child's eyes and I realized she was asking the cosmic question that all of us want to ask and have answered. Is everything all right?" Christmas lets us know that everything is all right because God's in control. Not you, not me. God's in control. So what is it that you need to give Him control of this year, that you're trying to control? Some of you have health issues. Some of you have family issues. Some of you are struggling with finances. Some of you are looking for a job or you're not happy in your job. Some of you have your own personal doubts and struggles. Maybe something you need to lay under the tree, a gift you need to give to God, and maybe even wrap it up, is to give God some of those burdens that you're carrying and remind yourself that He came into the world to be our Savior and to be our Lord. And everything is going to be all right. Charlene put a magnet on our refrigerator that says, "Everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, it's not the end. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right with your church. This is a good church. Good people." You take a deep breath. Just relax a little bit. Your pastor's on his way. Ed, you hearing me? He's on his way. I don't know who it is. I don't have any ministry crystal ball. But what I know is God's more interested in His church than you are. And when it happens, you're going to be excited, jumping for joy, rejoicing as that lady did. Where did she go? Is she in here? Did she leave? She probably left. Boy, she could sing, can't she? Jumping. I thought I was in a Pentecostal church for a few minutes. I'm like, "Lord have mercy, what happened here?" So He not only brings joy and wonder, He also brings peace. Now, peace isn't lack of the absence of conflict. Peace is learning to trust God in the midst of conflict. It's an inner peace. It's a peace because you have been reconciled to God. Peace comes through Jesus because Jesus came to reconcile humanity to God, to our Creator. The God-man reached out with one hand to God and the other hand to humanity to redeem us, to reconcile us to God, because we have been separated from a holy, righteous God because of our sinful nature. All of us are sinners, every one of us, without exception and without excuse. And what we try to do is we try to make ourselves better. We try to dress ourselves up. We try to make ourselves look better. We try to work our way so that God will give us favor. But the truth is, we cannot ever work ourselves to be good enough to God. So God intervened in human history, and He came and paid the price for our sin. He took the sin of the world upon Himself, and Jesus died for every sin that had ever been committed and every sin that ever would be committed, and He died for it on a cross. He took the sin of the world and He laid it on Jesus, and so that one day I will stand before God justified, just as if I had never sinned. Not because of what I've done, but because of what He has done, and that's grounds for jumping for joy. I'm so glad that the God of the universe, the God that's all-powerful and omniscient and all-knowing, that He decided to die just for me. I've come to realize that there's nothing good in me but Jesus. Without Him, I have no hope. And it's because of Him I have peace. I can have peace with myself, peace with others, and peace with God. Paul said it this way, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so how does the peace come? By placing your faith in Jesus. Some of you watching online, some of you listening here, your life's a mess. It's in turmoil. You go from one bad decision to another. Your marriage is just hanging on. You got your family is chaos. The only answer, listen, the only answer is to come to Jesus. That's it. There's no other. There's not Jesus plus something else. He is enough. And when you come to Him and admit that you can't figure this stuff out, when you admit that you need help, when you quit trying, when you finally reach the end of your own resources, what you'll find is that the angel of God, the messenger of God, the Son of God, has been waiting on you all along. He wants you to receive what He offers this Christmas season. He wants you to receive the gift of salvation. He wants you to receive the gift of redemption. You've been made part of God's family. He's adopted us into His family. He wants you to receive the gift of joy. He wants you to receive the gift of peace. He wants you to slow down and enjoy His presence. Say, how can I live out this peace? Well, you can seek out a forgotten friend, a lonely friend. You can seek to build a relationship, to mend a relationship. You can dismiss doubt and replace it with fear. You can be generous and gentle, and you can learn to laugh and then laugh some more. You can express your gratitude with a worshipful heart. You can hug and love a child. You can speak love to those you love, and then speak it again. Christmas gifts, God's gifts this Christmas, and every day of the year to all those who believe, is joy for the journey and peace to live by. That's my prayer for you this Christmas season. Let's stand to our feet as we pray together. Lord, thank You for the wonder of Christmas. God, forgive me when I take it so just so happenstance. God, I've preached this sermon many, many times, told this story many, many times. But God, may it become fresh and real and alive in me. May I see the wonder of Christmas in my grandchildren, but may that wonder come alive in me. Lord, I pray for the folks here today that we'll live with joy, that we'll take a deep breath and relax in You, trusting that You're in charge, Lord, and we trust You. We give You our families. We give You our finances. We give You our health. We give You our doubts. We give You our fears. We give You our church. Lord, in return, we want to receive joy and peace and the wonder of salvation. Lord, I pray for anyone here that are listening that has never trusted Christ as Savior, have thought about it. Oh, they believe in the Christmas story, but they've never entrusted their life to follow Him. I pray this will be the day. You say, Brother Dan, how do I do that? This is a prayer that you can pray wherever you are. Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord. Please forgive me my sins and give me the gift of everlasting life. I commit my life to follow You. In Jesus' name I pray. If that's a desire of your heart, we're going to ask you to make that commitment today. I'll be in the lobby.